This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. What does Jesus mean to you? Is he simply a good moral teacher, or is he your personal friend and redeemer? Jesus came as God incarnate to be so much more than simply a teacher, so stay with us today as we talk about all he offers us.
I am the Lord and the Savior of the world. This is Jesus' confession. We'll talk about it in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God in heaven, we thank you that confession is very clear. We do not need to doubt what he said. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit to believe. And so today, as we see where he was cast out of his own congregation in Nazareth of old, that the same thing can often happen within our groups. So give us grace and strength to listen and then power to live according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Breathe on me,
friends in Christ. We know very little of Jesus' childhood. We do know that at the age of 12, he took a trip to Jerusalem with his mother and Joseph. We know that he was left behind when the group were going back to Nazareth, and they had to return to get him, and they hunted for days, and finally in the temple, talking to some of the theologians of his day, Jesus was asking questions and giving answers, and they did not know where that wisdom had come from one so young. But he was put in the group, and back to Nazareth he went. Then he began to work, as far as we know from the scriptures, in his foster father's carpenter shop. And in that carpenter shop, he met many people as they came in to do business, and also had an opportunity to do some crafts for them. Then it was that one day, like always, for him it was a custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, the synagogue did not happen to have any paid clergy. They were supplied by people who just came to worship on this day. And there, the man who was in charge of the synagogue selected one. They often liked to have Jesus there, because Jesus could really read the scriptures, then make some very precious statements, and they would go home with a real blessing. Well, on this particular day, Jesus got up in their midst. Now remember, he's come from the carpenter shop. He stands up there in the synagogue before them. They had no paid clergy. And this is what he says in his words on that particular day. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. Those were his words. And the day of vengeance of our God is coming. He came to comfort all of those who mourned. And the people began to wonder, and Jesus gave them some more information, which we will not read today because of time. But we see that he is letting them know, if they are hearing correctly, that he is the Messiah. They not only threw him out of the synagogue, they threw him out of town and would love to have killed him. But as he was preparing them for what his purpose was in life, he does say some interesting things to them. He says, for example, I have come to preach good news to the people who live in our day. They couldn't quite understand that. What do you mean, good news? I came to bring you salvation. Now, many other people believe that there was a life after death. Certainly, if they were good Jewish people, that would be a part of their confession. But here this man is saying, I brought you the forgiveness of your sin. And when that sin is forgiven, then you have salvation. That is, you have eternal life. No longer are you just to think that you live 40 years, 50 years, whatever it might have been in those days. But when you breathe your last, if you trust in me as your Savior and your Lord, here is the good news. You will live with me forever in the kingdom of heaven. Another thing that I'm going to do is bring freedom for the prisoner. I don't think that he was meaning primarily the people who were sitting in their prisons on that particular day, but all of us who are spiritual prisoners, spiritual captives. There are sins that control us. We try to free ourselves from them, but we simply are not able to do it. He came to live in their hearts, and they could then, in tune, love those, for example, who they had hated. I've told this story many years ago before, but I tell it today. I'm acquainted with a story from my youth of two men, grown men, churchmen, and they hated one another. The years went by, and they never spoke to one another. Then one day, one of them got sick, and he was dying. The other one went to his hospital room, knelt down by his bedside, and said, "I have been a fool. I hated you, but I have come to tell you today that I love you, and I hope you will love me too." Those two grown men, in their 60s, embraced one another, and freedom from the element of hatred had left their being. That's what Jesus could do when he got inside of that man. That's why he came, to bring freedom. Anything that you and I have, friend, that we don't like about ourselves, we can bring that to Jesus, and Jesus will take care of it. He also goes on to say, "I have come to give recovery of sight to the blind." We look out into this world. We look at people, and we think, what a marvelous world it is, and yet there is so much wrong with it. We get an entirely different look as blind people on this world when we see ourselves through Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example that's very personal to me. Some of you perhaps have had this same experience. Right after Christmas, we were visited by our grandson. He brought along with him his new baby. He was my great-grandson. The little guy didn't want to sit on my lap. He was busy crawling around and giggling and doing his own thing. But as I sat there, I thought, there is a little child. I pray to God that he will have a good life ahead of him, that he will become employed in a meaningful occupation, that he'll do a lot of good for people, and especially for the kingdom of God, that he will live and die as one of Jesus' own. That's my prayer for him. Had I not Jesus, what would I see? And I do see this too, but far more. I see him becoming a good student, becoming a good athlete, becoming a good musician, becoming a good friend of good people, and helping others in this world to make it a better place in which to live. But he will only be that, what he is able to be, in Jesus Christ. And so I have to see him through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what it means when he said, "I have come to bring sight to the blind. Without Christ, I would not know him," that little boy. "I came to bring release to those who are oppressed," Jesus said. There are many people today who are oppressed. In spite of all of the good things that are around about us, there are things in their lives that they just can't stand. And they would like to get rid of that oppression. But the world looks so bad. Jesus comes to lift us up. Jesus comes as the promised Messiah, which he announced to the people at that first Nazareth of old, to let them know you will have those heavy hours. Life is not just a bowl of cherries. But if I walk by your side, you can learn the meaning of what I said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I can lay those oppressions, depressions, whatever you may want to call them, aside and turn the lights out and rest my weary body. That comes from Jesus Christ when he is the Messiah. But they didn't seem to want that. They didn't even want this where he said, I have come to usher in the year of the Lord's favor, to tell us that we live more than 80 years, but that we have an eternity before us. And by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has taken the sins away, and we are his to live forever in the kingdom of heaven. Now, why would anybody renounce him? But they did. They tried to kill him, but he got away from them. And it was the beginning of a 3-year ministry, which finally ended when he landed in Pontius Pilate's court and he was sentenced to crucifixion. And on that cross he suffered and died, was placed in the tomb on the third day to rise again with the promise that he is coming once more. Now, back in Jesus' day in the physical Nazareth, every eye was on him. They all had to speak well of him because he was a great teacher. But they asked, isn't this Joseph's son? What is it, friend, that makes Jesus so repulsive to so many people? Known as a pastor for all those years and walking in and out of service clubs and all kinds of committees and on the golf course, etc., there are many people who wanted to talk to me about Jesus, his ethics, example, and things of that kind. But when I begin to tell them that all of this is true, that he is a great moral influence, but the real truth about Jesus is that he is a Son of God and that he is a Savior of the world and that he can empower us, there they say, well, I can't go quite that far. I can accept him as a great teacher. But that's all. But my friend, that is not enough. For if we leave it there, we are lost. We have rejected him. He still holds out his arms to us. But we will see the day come if we die without him, that he has to turn from us. When I used to do counseling in my pastoral ministry, I would say to the people first when they came, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ? For you see, that's the basis upon which I have to counsel. I can't say that, well, he'll get a little counseling and he'll get over this shortcoming and that shortcoming, and he'll throw the marijuana away and the booze away. Alcoholic Anonymous realized that that was not true. They did not go far enough, as far as I'm concerned. But they did say, and they said it very clearly, that you have to have a higher power. And Jesus is that higher power. So we lean towards that power. And great things can happen, but oh, so many could be different. So many marriages could be changed. So many young people could be raised in a different way. But it is not to be. The results are that we take a look at Jesus and we see him. And we come to him and we worship him and we say we adore him and we sing all the hymns, what a friend we have in Jesus. But Jesus is not really our friend until he is the God incarnate. For here is where his main thrust is. What about you, friend? Is Jesus in your life? Is he the one that you really count on? Not just to teach you, teaching is very important, but that he has come to give you life everlasting. That is what he wants to give you. That is the joy that is in his heart, and he wants that joy to be in your heart. And yet we see that every day it appears that we get less and less concerned about Jesus, the Redeemer. I have been reminded of that so often during these political times, when serious problems have to be settled, and a human being simply cannot do it. They can't find the answer. And so they walk away and come back a few days later and try it again, maybe get an inch or two closer by their own compromises, but it isn't what they want. Now, I am thoroughly convinced that many of these men and women who are making these very important decisions that are necessary for our country, and they believe it as well as we do, they simply don't have the power to give in, say, maybe this is right. They don't have the courage to come and stand up and say, look, this is what we need to do. No. And so it goes on. But the results are that the Savior still stands there to be the Redeemer Counselor. And the day also goes on that while many people claim him as Savior and Lord, there are also many who say, no, teacher, yes, but otherwise than that, not welcome. Grant in this new year, we may take a little different look at this and see all that he had to offer, not only Nazareth of old, but ourselves. Amen.
Blossoms red, like
Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you that you speak so clearly to us in your word, that you have come to bring peace on earth, that you have come to bring salvation to all who trust you as Savior and Lord, that you have come to give us freedom. Freedom to get rid of those terrible things, behavior patterns that keep us captives. Oh God, we thank you that you're anxious to release us from our oppression, the things that really hurt us, the things, oh God, that we can't understand how we're ever going to get over acting as we do. But Lord, to know that you are here, here with us, here to guide us, here to strengthen us. Bless our country. Father, we love it, and we believe that many of those who labor hard there in our capitals, state or national, love it too. But there is, in many cases, evidently, those who refuse to bow before your throne of grace and say, Lord Jesus, give us the answers and help me to change my mind when it's necessary and offer what I have to offer when I know it is according to your will. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped open your heart to Jesus Christ and all he desires to give us. We're thankful for your prayerful and financial support, which enables us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people are not aware that we must buy broadcast time on radio stations. Your gifts enable us to air Christian Crusaders over 22 stations in 10 states across the country and worldwide on the internet. Please send your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a weekly e-preview of each program. These e-newsletters give a short description of the coming sermon, the hymns, scriptural tests, and other interesting information regarding the ministry. If you'd like to receive this weekly publication, just send your email address to cc@maz.org and be sure to put e-newsletter in the subject line. CDs and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, call 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day and pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 51 years. Christian Crusaders is now in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcast.